If you want to turn with me to Daniel, the second chapter. Daniel, they named a book after you. We'll be going there in just a moment. We're in a time of awakening, transitional time, and it's an awakening, not just, I think it's, instead of just looking at waking up in the morning, it's more like a birthing, that type of awakening, where we're being awakened from the life of soul into the life of his spirit, which is our true home and who we really are. And in this process of awakening, it's also an awakening from a church age level of living and relating, which we've all been a part of, into the culture and the atmosphere of his kingdom and his spirit. This is happening to all of us and beyond this room, to believers everywhere. And we're all at different places with it. And that's why I want to encourage you that as this awakening has taken place, it's a time where the Lord makes himself real, there's revelation, there's disruption, there's all kinds of things that happen in our life. Paul described this as a race, but it's not a competition. We're not working against one another. It's the kind of race that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is leading all of us in, and we're going through it together. We're all at different places in this awakening. And the thing about it is, it's not something you can talk another person into. It's not a word that I bring here. If I say something, then you're going to be at that same place. It's a matter of growth for all of us. We grow into what the Lord is doing. And I want us to really maintain just the oneness, and that awareness is going to grow with us, because it's something, steps we're all taking together, even though we're all in different places. It's the same Spirit and the same Lord in all of our lives, and we all get to the same destination together. So in all the things that are taking place, I just believe that our focus is beginning to become clearer and just sharper on the Lord Jesus Christ, that, you know, when God is shaking things up, as he is right now, a lot of times when things are being shaken, the mind creates all kinds of dramas. And what is meant to be even a small drama, the mind can create into a big epic drama. We're not to be led by the dramas that are created by our mind. The mind will do that because we're human. But in the midst of that, the Lord is speaking by his voice. And we're to follow that voice. And I encourage everyone here to not be tripped up by what's going on in your mind. Let the Lord shake you. Let him upset the apple cart. And in all that process, keep your eyes on the one that you're following. It's a time where his voice is going to become more clear to our lives in the midst of shaking. You think, well, as soon as things calm down, then I can sit, take some time and listen. No, in the midst of shaking, our God is a consuming fire. His voice will become more clear to those that have ears to hear that are listening. And we're going to become more and more followers of his spirit. Everyone, just take a step. Don't look around to your left or your right. Whatever's taking place, take a step according to what his voice is speaking to your life. And this is the reality of the kingdom. Diversity in the body of Christ, all these people, and it's not a religion that you just indoctrinate people into. The kingdom is the reality of who God is. And we're all awakened by the revelation of his spirit, and we take steps into it together. His word is at the heart of this process. In Daniel chapter 2, verses, you can read this later, verses 31 through 35. It's about the king's dream and the statue. Head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, feet partly of iron, partly of clay. And of course, this has been interpreted as being major kingdoms, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, Roman, Greek. And of course, they no longer are the superpowers they were. But the important thing to realize here is the influence they've had over us and our thinking. These cultures may not be around, or not as they were. I mean, Greece is still a country, but it certainly isn't the superpower it was in the days before. But these cultures have shaped our thinking, our perspective. And what this scripture is bringing out in verse 35, it talks about then the iron, verse 34, you continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time, became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But that same stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What I see happening is we and our minds have been influenced from past history. And the history that we've been influenced by, a lot of great thought, it's just not God's thought. The kingdom of God is that stone, not made with human hands. It's also can be described as the Word of God, the living Word of God, not the letter, but the living Word of God. That Word comes forth, and it's going to strike and remove all the influences over our mind that have kept us in darkness. It's going to become that stone that fills us with the mind of Christ, that process of renewal. That's the purpose of the Word. It strikes, it brings down, and that's why we have difficulty, I think, relating to the Word of God, because it's very aggressive. It can be very invasive into our life. I mean, just look at how it's describing this. Striking something down. Well, that's great. Strike the statue down. I don't care about the Babylonian Empire and all that. Yes, but where it is a part of your thinking, where it shaped how you look at life, that's where the Word of God is going. It's striking down its influence over your own mind, the influence it has over your own soul. Now, that's a different matter. See, that shakes our life up. But that is the quality of God's Word. It's a power. It's not simply thoughts that we fit in with other thoughts. It's a living reality. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The beginning, how all everything came into being. God said, let there be. So the living Word is God himself, and it's an expression of his creativity to us and through us. So as this living Word comes into our life, it brings down the idols, it brings down the wrong influences, and then it becomes something that fills everything. Now, what I'm getting at here is this is something we're not comfortable with. And also the scripture says the wind carried away what was brought down. Not a trace was found, the wind being the Spirit. I mean, God's Word strikes at that which needs to be changed in our thinking and our life. Then the wind of His Spirit blows it away, and it says we're going to come to a point where there's not a trace of the old. Being new creatures won't be some theory. There won't be a trace of the carnal mind and the unbelief and the fear and all the things that have kept us in darkness. This Word of God is working within us to fill us with the mind of Christ. And the only influence will be the culture of God, His kingdom. This can put us on the defensive. Now, why do we get defensive? Well, the reason for it is you get defensive when you feel you have something to protect. You feel you're being attacked. Now, that can be an appropriate response at times, isn't it? I'm not saying you should never try to defend things. If things are coming in that aren't right, yes, we put up walls to protect ourselves. We don't need to be defensive when it comes to the Word of God. Because the Word of God comes like that stone, and when it hits that statue, we feel that we're being invaded. We feel we're being challenged. Things are being shaken up. But who's behind the shakeup? It's God. So we don't need to be defensive, and we don't need to put up walls. Because the thing about a defensive stance is, if you're being defensive, you're not moving forward. We can't do two things at once, right? What's this, the Christian life all about? It's about growth. It's about walking with God, moving forward. Well, the defensive stance is saying, I've got to protect what I have here. And you're standing still. When it comes to the Word of God invading our life, the fears come up and say, you've got to protect what you have. But when you recognize it's His living Word that's hitting at the heart of things, that's where we have to be aware and say, Lord, do unto me according to your word, that heart of Mary, you know, whatever you want to do. And instead of becoming defensive, even though the word is very offensive, you can take that two ways. It offends our sensibilities at times. It offends our way of doing things. But it's offensive and it's taking us somewhere. It's about growth. It's about growing into God. We're to be on that same page. Revelation 19. I want you to read this with me. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire. Upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. Okay, who's the Lord? This wonderful reality, the Word of God. And what's the response? Uh-oh, got to protect ourselves. No, they were following. The whole purpose of the Word invading your life and shaking you up is so that you follow that Word out of your life into his. Who are the ones following him? Those that were in heaven. This is not talking about when we die. It's talking about awareness. If we're aware in the spirit, then we're able to follow that living word of fire wherever he wants to lead us. What happens if we're dwelling on an earthly plane where we're dominated by our own natural mind and our fears and our doubts? That word comes and we don't follow because we feel threatened by it. Be in that heavenly plane. And all that means is just be aware in the Spirit. The Spirit indwells you. Okay, the process of being the Word. That's the important thing. When the Word of God comes to us, we place a lot of emphasis on how we respond to it. Yet your initial reaction is not nearly as important as you might think. If I'm bringing a word to you, I want a favorable response. That makes me feel better. As opposed to you getting up and walking out or throwing things at me, that would make me feel worse. But either way, favorable, unfavorable, tells me nothing about whether the Word of God is going to be effective in your lives. Favorable means you like what you're hearing. Unfavorable means you don't. But it's not our initial response that determines the fruit of a word. It's the processing of that word in our lives that determines the fruit. And what is any word of God all about? It's about let there be. It's about creating something in us. There's too much emphasis in this day and age about going to church to be entertained. It's not about entertainment. If there's a value in being here, which there is, we're worshiping together. It's about a spiritual interaction where the word of God can be life. And then as we live our lives, that word can be at work in us, producing the fruit that God wants. You look at Peter. I'll give you an example of this. His response to the Lord. Oh, boy, I'm right there with you. I'll never leave you. I'm your disciple. Responding to something in Jesus. Peter feeling this great courage. Jesus saying, I don't think so. You're going to deny me three times. You're going to bail on me. Peter, the word of discipleship was real to Peter. Yet it hadn't been worked in his heart, and it wouldn't play out at that time. The Lord speaking about going to the cross, something that hit Peter's ears in an unfavorable way. No, Lord, this can't be. And Jesus saying, get thee behind me, Satan. He saw the influence on Peter's mind. It wasn't God. You say, okay, Peter, you didn't respond right to the word Jesus spoke. You're out of the picture. No, that same Peter would come out of the upper room manifesting the reality of what that cross meant. He had an unfavorable response because Jesus going to the cross didn't fit into his agenda. But later, that word would work in his life. And out of his life, he would be a living epistle where people could read the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. So it's the processing of the word that's important. When we talk about process, we're not talking about how long. There are people that attend church all their lives and they have words rattling around within them that they hold on to, and those words aren't necessarily producing any life. Nor is it about just, well, the word's got to keep dealing with me, my flesh is in such a way, and it's just, we get into this morbid struggle with ourselves. And it's true, the living word of God is a two-edged sword, and it does deal with us. But we need to understand what the processing is all about. It's about the word that we receive that is spirit and life becoming spirit and life to us. You become what you're exposed to. Now, if you're exposed to doctrine, and that's all you see, the word of God is preached to you as doctrine, what do you become? A good Pharisee. You become someone that can rattle off the scriptures and have all your doctrine lined up in a row and on and on. If we're exposed to the person of Jesus Christ in what we hear, what do we become? That's the awakening. We see him as he is, and we realize that's who we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Beholding the Lord. You see, to see him is to become him. That is the processing of the word. It's to come to a place where God's word in our life is spirit. And it is the presence of the Lord to us. Very same words. How about the scripture, God is love? Okay, that's a good word, isn't it? It can be in my head, I believe that God is love. And yet, it cannot be a reality to my life. I can still look in the mirror and wonder if God loves me. You see, when that word becomes spirit and life within me, it becomes the presence of the Lord, then I experience what that scripture says. I don't have to look in the mirror and say, I wonder if God loves me today. My performance hasn't been as good as yesterday. It's settled. Why? Because that word has become a revelation to me. That's why Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. There's something inside where the word becomes revelation, it becomes light, it becomes the Lord to us, living word. Again, you say, well, the Lord and his word are separate things. No, in the beginning was the word was God. What does it also say in John 1? The word became flesh. The Lord himself, he was that word. So it's a matter of being exposed to that word of spirit. And going beyond the realm of our mind, just trying to simulate certain teachings and accepting this, not accepting that. It goes much deeper than that. Look at the disciples. When they were with Jesus for 3.5 years, would you agree that he was the Word of God when he walked the earth? Wasn't he? It says he was the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. How much did the disciples change during that time? Very little, if at all. Even though he was the Word of God, they did not change. Yet after he was crucified and rose again, he came back to them for a period of days. And I believe that's when the changes really began for them. When they were exposed to the resurrected Lord, they changed. They were transformed. That's the word we carry within us, the word of resurrection. It's a word of life. And being around Jesus didn't change him. But when he came back and communed with them, you remember at one point in John it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now we always look at the day of Pentecost and think that in one magic moment these guys were all different. I don't think so. That was a powerful moment in time. But I think they were undergoing transformation as they were seeing the resurrected Lord and they were in fellowship with him. That's what the Word of God is to be in our lives. It's to be that same level. Remember in John, 1 John, it says that word of life, they talk about that we've handled, we've heard, we've seen, we've handled. You get the impression from reading that they're not talking about just good scriptures or doctrines. The word to them was the life of Christ. It was a living person that they were handling. They said, this life we've shared with you. It's that level that brings transformation. Now, the words that you hear don't automatically become that to you because they filter through our mind. We have our own prejudices. We have our own way of thinking. We want to tuck it away somewhere. This is where we need to be willing to let the Word of God become in us what God intends. And the process is to bring it from a level where it's just in our minds, somewhere on that heart level, and who can define that? Somewhere in the core of our being, where it becomes the resurrected Lord communing with us. And when that is taking place, just like with the disciples, when he went back with them, these guys had not changed hardly at all in 3.5 years, and all of a sudden, their lives begin to change. All of a sudden, Peter, the man, was so fearful, full of denials. They'd all gone back to fishing. They were living in fear. They became the core that came out of an upper room, bringing about a whole new age, demonstrating the power of Christ's resurrection. What had happened to them? Where'd they get all this new courage? They were exposed to him. That's all. What we are exposed to, we become. If we're exposed like unveiled face to the glory of the Lord, we are transformed by that same glory into his image. Some ways that can help with this, I think in this process, and we can close with this, you want to turn to Matthew chapter 13. The different approach here within this from religion, I would say, in religion, a religious approach, you're encouraged to read and then act. In other words, if I bring a word on God is love, you read about, okay, God is love, now I've got to act more loving. And of course, we all know the limitations of that. We end up just acting, pretending. A walk in the Spirit is we hear and we meet the life that's there, the Lord himself, the person. Then we're not just trying to act. Instead of a letter that kills, it becomes a spirit that gives life. Meeting the Lord in what you hear is what transforms you. Okay, Matthew 13. This is just the parable of the sower, and we all are very familiar with this. And I think this is the process that goes on with this, with the word, when it comes into our life. And we can look at just a few things here that help us get to the point where the word falls on the good seed. Now, what does that mean, the good seed? I don't know how to analyze this. All I know, it's a part of our being where when that word of life hits, it becomes something living in him. And that's where the fruit comes out. Well, the first thing Jesus said in verse 18, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the word. Okay, the word of God coming without understanding is going to be robbed from us at a certain point. Now, who's the enemy that robs it? Well, my biggest enemy is my own mind. At some point, if that word does not become a revelation to me, my mind will rob me of all life of it. And it might... You know, it's not that we forget about the word totally. It's removed from our mind. Let's see, God is love. Let's say the scripture, God is love. What is God again? God is... No, you remember the scripture. What's robbed from you is the reality of it. So that enemy comes in, and often that's our own thinking. But what do we need? Jesus said, anyone who hears the word and does not understand it. We need the Lord opening up the word with revelation. And a simple scripture that I found... I'll just read this to you. Where is it? Book of Luke. Oh, Luke, you can read this later, 24:45. It says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. I think the reason we pray before a word, you know, I can become kind of a ritual, but I think it shouldn't be that. is we recognize that we need more than our own minds to simulate God's word. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. We need to carry this awareness with us as we're listening for the Lord to speak. That humble prayer of, Lord, I need you to open my mind for this to be a revelation to me. I don't need you, Lord, to open my mind so I can intellectually grasp it. I think most of us can grasp what's being said. But for this to be a revelation, for me to truly understand this, you've got to open up my thinking. I think this is something we need to carry with us as we're exposed to God. This is part of the processing. And people that don't do this simply get stuck on an intellectual level of collecting a lot of ideas, good ideas. But that doesn't transform us. What we hear, we need to understand, which means it needs to be a revelation to us. And whatever's a revelation to you cannot be taken away from you. Second thing he says in the one, verse 20, the one in whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself. It's only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Okay, this is the word coming, recognizing it's a word from God. Amen, Lord, I want it. Not recognizing that anything's from God, since our God is a consuming fire, is going to disrupt our life. And not recognizing that the disruptions that are happening, instead of analyzing with our mind and trying to figure out our circumstances, we need to discern what the word is doing to us. And when it's the word of God that's shaking things up, instead of falling away where we lose the reality of that word, we cling to the Lord and say, Lord, it's your word that's doing the shaking. I don't need to be defensive here. I want to follow you. And when we do that, the word that comes in, it shakes, and then it goes deeper where it can bear the fruit. Again, this is the process of finding the Lord in his word. Everybody wants to hear good sermons. Nobody wants to be shaken up by them. If the word of God comes in, it can be very sweet, then bitter when it goes down. Why? Because it disrupts life as we know it. What happens when we fall away from that process and saying, Lord, I want you to speak to me, but I don't want my life to be changed by what you speak? And that's basically what we're saying. Lord, speak to me, just don't shake up my ideas and my plans and my agenda. When we say that, what we're doing is we're falling away from the word. The word will never take deep root within us where it can bring fruit. Lord, I love it when you speak to me. It can be so sweet to my ears, and oh, what a mess it makes in my life. But amen to that. Because if I hold on to you and go through the process, I find you in what you're speaking. And that's how I'm transformed. All right, let's get on with it. Last thing here. Verse 22, on the one whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the worry of the world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, becomes unfruitful. The word comes into our life, and if you really pay attention to the spirit, you feel an urge to simplify. You really do. You feel an urge of, let my eye be single so my whole body can be filled with light. This whole age is meant to crowd you and to push a lot of things on you. And, you know, this scripture is not talking about just all our responsibilities. Well, I'm just too busy with things, and that's hurting the power of the word. It says here, the worry of the world, deceitfulness of riches. It's talking about what goes on in our mind. Worry, fear. They come to crowd you where the word does not have its rightful place in your life. And important for the word becoming that revelation of the Lord to us is that as it's coming into our life, let's not let it be choked by the anxiety and the worry of our own nature. Now that anxiety and worry is there, but what we do is to say, I want my eye to be single, focusing on the word. That's what's most important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added to you. Developing that single focus. What happens then? The worries, the concerns, the anxiety, that choking sensation, do you ever feel that way? So much pressing in on you? Begins to diminish. because the word in you is more powerful than all those external pressures. But we have to take the time to say, Lord, what I'm hearing is going to be a priority. And if we don't make it a priority, and we're listening to God 1 minute, next minute we're listening to this fear, this doubt over here 5 minutes down the road, it doesn't find its rightful place in our life. And it doesn't become that revelation of the Lord to us. So instead of being choked as we hear, we become more simple in our focus. Lord, what you're speaking is my life. I don't live by bread alone, but I live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. I'm not talking about just reading scriptures. I'm talking about what he's speaking by the Spirit to your life. That's the word you focus on. That's the word that's meant to grow within you. And as it hits the good soil, what happens? Something happens in this process of the word becoming the Lord within us. That his presence is what we taste of. We bear fruit. Why? Why?